My mom told me not to talk to strangers on the internet, but I'm glad I didn't listen. We are the Certified Nunas, your sisters in the love of Asian entertainment.
Hi, I'm Amanda.
And I'm Natalia, and as promised, just us again. Hey, yo. As like a fun little lifting the veil, like we sometimes do. This is our second attempt at recording this. We normally record on Thursday nights, but our streaming software was down on Thursday. So this is, and then we were like, it's fine, we'll do it on Saturday afternoon. But then my neighbor downstairs had an emergency, so I had to babysit. So now it's like early Saturday evening, and we're here to talk about a C-drama that came out recently. The little backstory as to why we're doing this is the other members weren't available, and we needed to come up with like an episode idea that would be enjoyable for the two of us to do. And I had just finished watching a C-drama, and I really enjoyed it. And I know that there's one other person on this podcast who is also a C-drama rom-com enjoyer.
And that indeed
is Amanda. So I was like, hey, you should watch Everyone Loves Me, and we can talk about that. Because we just love C-dramas.
We do.
And so that's what we're here to do. Just to have a little chat about this very, like, what I love about, like, before we even get into the show, what I love about C-dramas, especially this type of C-drama, is you know exactly what you're getting when you go into the show, and they do not deviate from the formula. Like,
no, it is 100%, you know what you're getting, and it is what you get.
And there's something like comforting about that, like, because you know, like, you can always, you can, you know what vibe, what mood you're gonna be in watching the show. It's sort of like when you pick up like a Harlequin novel. It's like the one that I always use. It's like, you know what you're getting.
Where this is going. Yeah.
There's not gonna be some big twist or big surprise. Or, like, any wild deviation. Like, you're just like, no, I know what I'm getting.
A rom-com that I read recently where the female character says to this guy who's trying to write a new rom-com, but he's giving it a twist ending and all this stuff. She's like, no! She says, rom-coms are like sex. If you're surprised by how it ends, somebody wasn't doing their job.
Yeah,
right.
Something went wrong.
And I'm like, yeah, because, and I think C drama rom coms are modern set, like, you know, like they're so very much what you expect when you pick up one of those like cartoon cover rom com novels. Like, it's gonna, you know, there's gonna be some sort of third act breakup.
Yep.
You don't know how bad it'll be, but it won't be so bad that I'll be mad that they got back together.
Exactly.
You know? Like,
exactly. Listen, and that's what, you know, that's what you're looking for. And you want something like predictable, but still good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's still fun to watch.
This is what you turn to.
I always compare the C-drama rom-coms to cotton candy. Like, you enjoy it while you're eating it. You wanted to have the cotton candy. It was enjoyable while you ate it. Do you remember eating it? No. Did it fill you up? No. Was it good in the moment? Yes. And that's...
No, I gotta say, no. Listen.
Often.
My...
exceptions.
There are... You know, like, I do enjoy... Incredible. Listen, I do enjoy a good, fun little C-drama rom-com. And some of them I'm like...
Me too.
And this one I
some
genuinely enjoy.
Watchable.
Yeah. This one I genuinely enjoyed, so I was like, okay, I'm going to cyberbully Amanda into watching it, too.
And I did not enjoy it. Mm-hmm. Like, it was fine. Is it going to be one of those ones where, like, there are some...
Well, it's not about,
like,
sports,
oh,
so...
I'll go back to that, yeah.
Well, it's not about sports, so, you know. You...
It kind of gives you the idea that it's going to have some like esports in it, and it does, but like,
not really.
That's not
it's not really relevant to what's actually happening. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not like, you know, falling into your smile or something, which is like, we are an esports team. And this one, they're like, We're just like a casual little gaming group. We're just having a good time. But anyway, let's tell you what the show is about. What variation on the formula they're doing this time. So basically, the main character is an artist who's just graduating from college, and she has had a long-term crush on a schoolmate, the hot guy on campus, which I find sort of funny because, like, he doesn't really have hot guy vibes to him. Like, he's good looking, but he's not, like, you know, like, hot guy vibes. Mm-hmm. Like, he's a very good looking, charming guy.
Nerd?
Yeah, like nerd hot, you know? Like, not, you know, not jock hot. Like, there's different hots. We can all, you know,
admit this.
So, she also has these online game friends that she games with, and they play, like, FPS, first-person shooter games, together, and they have a good time. And so they're always, like, chatting. She's the only girl who hangs out with them on this, and none of them, like, she has not met these guys that she hangs out with online in real life, but unbeknownst to her, they all know each other because they're roommates and then one of their cousins, like, anyway. So she works for a game company where she is one of the artists in the Otome game department, and she's like, this is great. Like, I'm so glad I work here. Good times. Like, even though my boss is kind of a dink, and then his boss is kind of an ass. Like, he's like a dink and then an ass. Like, you know. But she's like, you know what? It ain't easy getting a job as a digital artist. So, like, it's, you know, we're gonna, like, do with that what we will. And, so she decides, like, before she graduates, she is going to confess to this guy. And so at graduation, she confesses, and he shuts her down hardcore. Hardcore shutdown. But back up a little. Because, meanwhile, she's been talking to her online friends about this guy and getting manly advice on how to flirt with him, because she's never really flirted with anyone. But unbeknownst to her, one of the guys who games with her online is in love with her, even though he's never met her. He just fell in love while playing games, and so is feeding her terrible advice on how to get guys. Unbeknownst to both of them, it's the same guy. So he's giving her terrible advice about how to flirt with him, and then turning her down when she flirts with him.
Turning her down because she's doing all these things that he has
told her to do.
Told her because he knows they would turn off a guy.
Yeah. Okay. So this all culminates in this incredible scene where she's, like, talking to these guys online. And at first, and she's like, I can't, like, he turned me down. He's so mean. I'm not, like, fuck him, basically. Like, this guy sucks. I'm never, like, I'm done. I'm never gonna like him again because he's such a dick. And so, meanwhile, the guy who's in love with her is like, yes. Like, my plan is working. And so him and his friends are, like, egging her on. And they're like, oh, tell us who he is. Like, we'll come beat him up. Like, how dare he be mean to you? Like, you're a little sister. How dare he be mean to you? And then so she's like, you know what? You should come to my college and you should beat up Guzun. You tell him from me that he sucks. This becomes a very big surprise to Guzun, who is the one offering to go beat himself up, where he just
felt that.
And the realization of him having fumbled the bag to a massive degree is very satisfying, which then opens up the second act of the show, where he now has to win her back.
Right.
Perfect. And it's also complicated by the fact that he has been hired, he's a programming student, and he has been hired to be the project head of a new fighting game, RPG style fighting game, that her company is doing, and is now technically one of her bosses. Listen, perfect. The setup is a classic setup.
Very classic, like, right? Like, you get electronic gaming, you get workplace, you get college, like, it's...
It gives you all that you're looking
for. It's hard not to compare it to, like, Love 020, because it's got that same basic setup, except for... In Love 020, it's like, I love you, okay,
we're in love. Yeah, like, I think I was also thinking about Love 020 while watching it. And I think, actually, I'm about to say something real bold, because you know I enjoyed Love 020. I genuinely did. I think I like this one better because, one, she has way more personality than the original. Like, in the original, like, listen, she could have been replaced by a lamp and the show would have proceeded as same. Like, she had no effect on the plot whatsoever. Whereas
she was very...
Like, she was just there, right? And he was just in love with her for no reason. Like, she was just there. You know?
She was good at gaming. She was smart.
And
she
was it. You know, she wasn't pretty. She wasn't really helping with anything. And, like, when she went to work at the company, she was given a bunch of nonsense make-work projects.
She's basically a secretary.
Whereas in this one, it's like, she has a unique skill set. She has a personality. And she doesn't just accept things that happen to her. She's like, no, you know what? You know what? Absolutely not. You know what?
No. I think I do agree. I like her better character-wise. I still like Love 020 better. To me, this drama, I found that first act dragged for me. Like, 6-7 episodes of her being just absolutely cringy around him in real life, it was too much. I was like,
I felt like
two episodes max.
Yeah, I felt like maybe like three episodes,
right?
And like, then you get into like the him repenting for his actions, like,
right.
And then like I did find that perhaps he repent, like the repentance was, it went on a bit long. But my other criticism, if we're compliment sandwiching this, okay? Because I like to compliment sandwich things. Mm-hmm. And I'm coming at this as someone who really enjoyed the show. My mind just went totally blank. Okay. As someone who really enjoyed the show. The second male lead was the wrong male lead in this show. So they add in a couple second male leads, but they were all the wrong one. Okay. So like one is offering is like her childhood friend who just comes to just, and she has no interest in him whatsoever. Okay. Mm-hmm. The second offering was like her coworker, who's like one of the project leads on this project.
Yeah.
And like, he never does anything to like forward his goal of being in love with her. Like he doesn't do anything. He just sort of happens. Now, the real second male lead should have been the head of the Otome department. Because they had history. Like, him and the two men had history. Uh-huh. Like, they had been, like, they were on the outs. Like, they were, you know, vying at work and in love. Would have been a better, like, plot
for
situation.
Sure.
But
and I feel like, personality-wise, it seems way more likely that that second lead from The Office would have been more interested in the secretary friend.
Yeah.
Like, she felt more his vibe than, you know, character-wise. So, you could have done two love triangles.
It would
have
been great.
If you had to, right?
But I do understand this is based on a novel, so it was probably going along with what was presented in the novel.
Probably.
But, like, the main female character was so sassy. And so, like, there's something about like when a woman is snubbed and she accepts that, but then she's like, but I don't want to be friends with you because you were so mean to me about it.
Yeah.
And so she's so mean to him. And of course they're next door neighbors. Of course their moms were college friends that they find out. And like, and he keeps the constant of him fucking up.
He keeps on,
but not through like him being like a bad guy or anything. It's just him accidentally fucking up is
like
delicious to me.
When the moms set them up on a blind date and he just doesn't go because he's like, no, mom, I'm not going.
It was like,
and like,
he doesn't go because he didn't think it was,
like,
he didn't know it was
her. It's her.
And also had like a work emergency.
Yeah.
So, and then,
but he also completely forgot about it, right? Like,
and
it was like, oh,
but what
it's her.
It's listen. It The only thing I can, like, relay the level of I fucked up it to is probably the Thai drama Theory of Love, wherein that you're so right? mad, like, but, like, you're so mad at, like, the male lead for, like, the first half of the show, and then it's, like, the repentance is so delicious that you're just like, yes, suffer, suffer. And I, you know, it's kind of, it's a fun, dumb yeah. thing to watch.
For sure.
And what I also liked about this show, which this is sometimes not the case with many C-dramas and K-dramas, is that these dudes weren't unlikable. Like, they weren't, like, oftentimes you'll be presented with, like, a male lead who's a dick for no reason. And yeah. you're just like, why are you this way, sir? Why are you doing this? Like, mm-hmm. listen, as I always say, like, we do love the good, domineering CEO, but there's got to be something, like, likable yeah. about you. And he's actually very likable. Like, he's not shutting her down to be a dick. He's shutting her down because he doesn't want to give her any hope because he has someone he's in love with. Like,
yeah.
And,
like, when he shuts her down, it's terrible because it's incredibly public, right?
Yeah.
So it's very embarrassing. And he feels terrible about that. Like, he did not mean for it to be public. He thought he was having a private conversation and he was just saying no politely. This is not going to happen. Mm-hmm. Please stop. I am not interested, which is very well within his rights. You do not have to like everybody who likes you.
Absolutely not. That's absolutely fine. Not.
And as soon as he realizes, like, he feels terrible that he has just rejected her in front of so many people.
So, like, many
he
people.
Feels awful about it.
So it wasn't like he was trying to be a dick.
Mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, he came off as kind of a dick by accident.
Now, I will say that there are some red flags to his character, because one of the things that really bugged me in this drama, I enjoyed watching it. I did like it. It really bugged me that he never really apologized. He never really addressed the fact that he intentionally, as her friend, misled her.
Yeah.
In order to, like that has a creepy kind of vibe to it.
I don't find that, like, I just. I don't think that was necessarily creepy. I think that was just, like, he was an idiot.
I don't think it was, yeah, like, I don't think.
Not ideal.
I don't think he thought he was ever going to meet her or anything like that. Mm. So, like, it didn't feel as stalkery as it could be.
Yeah, because he wasn't, like, you know, tracking her down over the internet. He was like, I'm going to wait till she wants to meet me and then, like, you know, make my move then. So it wasn't, like, creepy in that sense. But
kind of. Like, kind of the way it came across to me watching it was that the thing she wound up being the most mad about was the fact that he realized who she was and didn't tell her immediately, right? Which he did try, and she shut him down. So, I, again, not mad at him for that. But that seemed to be the thing that she was mad about.
Yeah.
Not the fact that, she didn't. They never had her kind of go back and go, hang on.
Wait a second.
You rejected me because of the things you told me to do.
Yeah.
This is on me. Like,
wait a
that
second.
Fight, and I would have liked to have that fight. Mm. Like, that's all I'm saying. I would have liked that fight because I was like, he misused their friendship. And that, to me, was the bigger deal than the fact that he didn't tell her right away that, you know. But it is, once they're working together in the office, like, the second half I found much more enjoyable than the first half.
Yeah.
You need that first half set up, obviously, but the second half is a lot more fun when they're, you know, kind of, but not, but she's still mad, and it's fun. It's fun.
Now, with these C-dramas, there's always, like, a second couple. And this show is no exception. But I gotta say, the red flags on this second male lead for this second couple, this guy sucks. But listen, I suppose that's good.
He's a good person.
Yeah,
he's
but he's
just
a bad
terrible boyfriend. Like, a bad,
So it's basically, like, the second in command for this RPG project, and his secretary, who is the sweetest, most anxious little bean.
Oh my God.
She's so sweet.
She's adorable.
So anxious. And he's so oblivious while also like going around just dating around town. And she's just like, why am I doing this to myself? Like,
yeah.
Why? And yeah. Like, you know, he'll get her to like buy gifts for other women, and which is like a real classic, you know, trope of this sort, right? But what really sort of bothered me, and this is a little spoiler for anyone, there was no real payoff for that. Like,
no.
She didn't really get her real revenge on this one, which...
I know. I would have liked a more solid, like, second lead for her. Like I said, like a solid triangle, have her solidly, you know, she moves to a different department for, like, a minute and a half.
Yeah.
Right? You know, you're like, no, like, have him yearn for a little bit. Have him realize, because it kind of just comes across a little bit like, oh, like, I can't function without her. I really need her, not so much I want her. Like, you're just sort of like, okay. Like, he's okay as a character, but, like, I mean, he was terrible. He was terrible when he was in a relationship with the other woman.
Yeah, like he's not a good boyfriend.
Terrible. He's not a good boyfriend. And then he lets he's not good at being a boss when he's being a boyfriend. Like, he has no ability to balance or to choose the right priorities. You're like, this man would tank your company. I would not let him be the, like...
Like, he really lets his emotions, like take over, you know? Like, thank God he had his little secretary there, because she was really keeping everything going for a lot of the show. Mm-hmm. And she's played by Melody Tang, who's just so cute.
She's so cute.
Like, anyway, she's just adorable.
She's adorable.
The main couple. Now, this is a little funny little side quest. So I really like this show. So I was like, I really like the female lead of this show. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna go watch another show that she's in
with
because
her.
I really like her. And which led me to, if anyone remembers this from one of our What We're Watching episode, she was also the lead in Scent of Time, which I watched and I loved the first 27 episodes of.
Right.
And then the last three episodes made me so unreasonably angry. It was a historical.
I think it was reasonably angry.
I was very it was reasonable, but I got real angry. I was like, this is bullshit. God, that show makes me I'm mad even just thinking about it right now.
I'm on MDL and apparently she's scheduled to be in one called Legend of the Female General,
which does seem very cool.
That sounds delightful.
And the male lead, I've seen him in a few other things. Like he was in Derailment, which I loved. Very different vibe of a show. It's like a sci-fi thriller type with rom-com as well. I really enjoyed that one. And Put Your Head on My Shoulder, which I also really loved. But he was just like a guest role in that one. But yeah, like, it was, you know, like.
He's got a sports drama on the docket. Ski Into Love.
Boy, he's really coming for you. I just thought this was like a fun, cute little drama that like.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of people would like because it's got a lot of elements to it that a lot of people find enjoyable. Like, you know, it's got like a pretty good romantic like arc. Like their romance is good. It's got all that corporate shenanigans you crave. Now, speaking of corporate shenanigans, I do have one big logistical situation with this show. Okay. So they work at this game company, right? And he and his like rival his rival's the head of the Otome gang. They had like a falling out a few years ago, okay? Like they used to work together on like whatever. And so his rival like runs the Otome department. And then he runs like this new like AAA game for like, you know, like fighting game department, okay? Those two departments do not have the same like consumer core whatsoever. Right? Like a like light novel, like Otome game, like a dating sim does not have the same like customer core as a like RPG fighting game.
Right?
Why would their like the head game company be forcing these two to be competing against each other? It made no sense in my mind. See, right now I'm in the middle of my compliment sandwich right now, because like, why would they be competing for resources? That's actually insane to me.
It makes no sense. It makes no sense that, I mean, a computer game company would be so focused on, like, they have supposedly like 8-10 whatever different, you know, business teams, but apparently only two games being made in this, like, what, where's the
make
other
it make sense make it make
where
sense
where are the other departments, where are the other games that are being made, what is going on here, like, it's
like
just,
what do you mean, what? That's all you have, what do you mean, that's what do you, that doesn't even make sense, like, where's your mobile department, where, like, where's your, let's like be, your console department, what are you talking about?
It's just, it's so dumb. You wouldn't have them competing for resources. You wouldn't have them like,
there wouldn't be a situation like, where it's like, well, we can only either release this Otome game, which are not like, listen, Otome games are fantastic, but they do not have the same level of like technical need that a triple A like League of Legends style game has. Like, you don't need the same, like, you don't need the same amount of resources.
You
like,
don't need the same world building or the same.
And it's like you need better like still visual artists. Okay. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of them don't have a lot of like animation or anything. Because it's like a light novel, right? And you need good script writers. And of course you need like some programmers, but it's not working from the same pool. Like, to put out an Otome game costs a fraction of putting out this other game. Why are they competing? Like, what?
The whole thing with that got so ridiculous with the guy going, we need to make money. This cut. It's not going to make money. You don't make money on, like, you don't make this style of game and make money on it in the first year. No. It takes years of work. Years.
And it's like, I'm just sitting here like you know what? To be honest, like, the Otome game would make like a steady amount of income if you have dedicated fans and good writing. Yeah. Like, you know? And, you know, if you put in a little gay stuff, you'll get even more, you know? Like, listen,
and they were throwing in pets, and they were doing holiday things. You know,
they seemed like they were doing what needed to be done. Like, it was kind of irrelevant to, like, be including this other, like, it wasn't relevant what the other games were up to. But I feel like this is one of those things where, at least they tried to, like, instead of they work at business, which happens a lot in these sorts of games, is like, he's the CEO of company that does business things.
Business, yeah.
Like, I don't know what the business is, but they do business things. And I'm just like, but what is the business? Like,
well, and they didn't do... They make computer games, and then you never talk. Like, computer games were an actual part of it.
Yeah.
The art, the work that went into it. So that was that was nice.
And there was thought put into it in that way. It's like, obviously the writers didn't ever work at a computer like a gaming right. company, because anyone would be like, first off, like, the same studio isn't making these two games. Like, yeah. that's not, those are different studios. Like, I'm sure it's happened that, like, a same, like, umbrella studio, but, like, let's be real. But yeah. And also, like, just, anyway, but I did like that they actually were like, no, this is a real company and we can tell you about real products.
The part that cracked me up was when they had a big, like a Comic-Con kind of situation, and they had a big booth and a little booth, yeah. and like they were competing for the big booth. And
you the know, Atome like, game would never get the big booth. It's an Atome game. What are you talking about?
Gave the Atome game the big booth. They walking in there 45 minutes before the show yeah. starts and switching out the booths. How that works. When you set up a booth at a show like that, it takes a lot of work to get it set up. Like, you can't just walk in with your standee and go, get in here, guys. We're in here now.
Like, yeah.
No? That's no. Come on. But, yeah. But, I mean, it's fine. And you're... you don't expect any of... You know, like, I was talking to was saying her husband would get frustrated by when he was watching She-Hulk. He enjoyed it, but he's a lawyer and he got really frustrated by like the speed at which they go to trial and stuff. She's like, honey, you're watching about a woman who turns into a green giant.
Let's have some fucking perspective here.
Legal stuff go,
like,
right?
Like it's and all and like you can't show like when you're in a fictional like you're showing like a fictional story, you can't actually show the reality of how long these things take, because like to develop a game like the one they were developing would be years. Like it wouldn't be like, well, you've got to show us things like now, like 6 months after. No, like no game company would expect that.
Exactly.
That's actually right? a crazy like, thing to expect.
Not. I did like you know. Whenever we talk about a sea drama, we have to cover The Glory of China.
Of course.
And The Glory of China was definitely always, there, but it always. Was so subtle. Like, so it was small. A very nice sort of, like, it was just a, hey, nobody in China has made one of this style of game yet and had it work. And we're going to be
We're going to be the first.
Okay. Yeah.
Which is, very, listen, like, as sea drama veterans... We all know if they're going to have Glory of China, they're going to have Glory of China. And they're going to have it. Like, you just, this one was nice to have just like, maybe China gets some glory. Okay, moving on. I will say, to continue my compliment sandwich, while I did like a lot of it, I find that a lot of C dramas this happens to, they fall into sort of like, they need to like, backload things when they could have just focused on like sending them on cute dates and meeting parents and blah blah blah. And they're like, let's give him like a tragic work-related backstory he needs to deal with, like, and you're just like, okay, like, oh, his dad was a game developer too, oh, this dead father, okay, and you're just like, okay, they're really like springing this on us late in the game for this, like, you could have like Chekhov gunned us a little bit before now, but you know what, fine, like, okay.
It kind of, with that whole plot, it kind of felt like somebody who wrote Atome Games wrote this, because it felt like you had a bunch of options.
Yeah.
And they provided you with all the options, and then they were like, no, it's choose your own adventure, except for not, we're choosing your, like,
we've chosen like your adventure had, you know, for you.
They had, he saved the day by bringing this guy in, but then they totally didn't need the guy because they got saved with something completely different. Yeah. And you were like, what? Why are we, like, there's, like, three save-the-day moments in this one scene.
You know what, this is, like, that would actually be, like, a really interesting way to look at this game. Look at this show as though you are experiencing someone else playing an Atome game. Because, like, that actually makes the show a little bit better, in my opinion.
All these,
like,
guys that show up out of nowhere, and it's like and are in love with her.
Listen, and you just, like, no, you know what? You know what, Amanda? I'm taking this.
What?
If you You, the viewer, watch this show and pretend that you are watching a Let's Play of an Otome game. All of the things that we've said as criticisms suddenly are no longer criticisms. That's just someone making a personal choice as to their own path through this Otome game with all of these, you know, options of these, these fellas, right? Where it's like, that's why the other boss didn't get... The other boss didn't get a romance line. Like, the person playing didn't like him as a character. Yeah, so
they shut that line down.
They were like, not interested in that. Oh my god. You know what? You've turned this show around, Amanda.
We've connected the dots.
Yeah, we've connected. Figured it out. All said, like, we're all laughing at the same time. I did give this show an 8 out of 10 on my MDL. I genuinely enjoyed it. Otherwise, I wouldn't have suggested it.
Absolutely.
And
I think I gave it a 7.5.
It's
very watchable.
It's a solid show that you can watch that will not give you stress. That you will enjoy while watching, and you don't have to really think about. Obviously, I've been sitting here thinking about it, because I'd be like, Otome games and AAA games wouldn't be on the same budget. Like, what are you talking about? But, like, that's just because, you know.
Yeah.
I can't help myself.
As a digital artist, you're...
Yeah, and I'm sitting here like, actually, the digital art stuff was pretty good. Was, like, yeah, solid. Like... Sure.
Well, I thought, like, all the times when she would, like, she'd made something, and then they were like, this is fine, but, like, no, it doesn't work, and she's like, what do I do? And you're like, yeah, that's not great.
It's like, should have done it to spec. The vibe's not right. Should have done it to spec. Like, but yeah, it's a fun show that I think a lot of people who like easy, simple rom-coms would really enjoy. Because it's an easy, simple rom-com that's enjoyable to watch. Even into
summer. Summer is a good time for the light, easy, fair. This is solidly fits that budget.
And like, it's also easy to watch because it's on Netflix and Viki and Youku. You can watch it anywhere. Mm-hmm. Like, you have options. And I just found it interesting. It has two directors. And one of them, a guy director, a male director and a female director, their names being Yu Chung Chung and Lee Ching Jun. And he directed Love is Sweet, which is like the epitome of C-drama rom-coms, right? And then she directed something, she directed Hidden Love, which I also really enjoyed. So it's like, you know, you had these two people coming together who, and by the way, and when I say like, oh, she directed, she also directed a billion other things. And he also directed a billion other things. It's just like those, it's sometimes, and sometimes you like see,
let's see,
like a I've show.
Never Give Up, My Deepest Dream.
Yeah.
Like, oh gosh, he's got so many.
So many.
My Little Princess.
Go-Go Squid 2, a classic. but, like, and you can see how the previous shows sort of, like, inform the newest show. Because, like, I can see how Love is Sweet informed this show. Like, I can see how Hidden Love.
She directed History 3 Trapped?
Yeah.
I did. Wow. And Right or Wrong.
Yeah, she's Taiwanese.
Oh, wow. And History My Hero.
And Go-Go Squid. Listen, she directed Go-Go Squid. He directed Go-Go Squid 2. Which I think is fun. He's also Taiwanese.
That is fun. That's wild.
You know, they're...
No, she's directed a lot.
No. Yeah. Like, this is a fun... she did Hidden Love, it's Mr. Solid. Bad. I like Mr. Bad. I liked Hidden Love. I like Go-Go Squid. I liked, she directed History 2, Right or Wrong, which, as we all know, I am a big fan of. Check out our Guilty Pleasures
episode. Because she directed one of mine and one of yours.
Like, yours.
You know, so,
So, you know, like, solid directors. Solidly. Like, so this is like, and this is, even with like all the things that we can sit here, laugh and criticize, it is actually, for what it is, an incredibly solid show. It doesn't, like, so, with the exception of the first act dragging a bit, after that it really just sort of goes along at a really good pace. It's not like, it's 24 half an hour, like 45 minute episodes, which is like a perfect length for one of these shows, in my opinion. And you don't leave it feeling like you've wasted your time watching it. Like, you leave it going, that was a fun show. Yeah. Like, we had a good time.
It was fun. It does what it sets out to do. It does what you're expecting of it.
Yeah. It's not a show.
It was entertaining.
It's not a show that's sitting here and being like, I'm going to be the greatest, most mind-blowing show. I'm going to blow, you know, like, the rom-com genre out of the water. It's like, no, I'm going to present a simple story with a simple premise, and I'm going to do it well. And that's what it did, because that's all it ever promised to do, and that's all anyone should be expecting it to do.
I feel like twists. Like, no, it just tells its story.
I feel like there's, like, these days, this, like, bizarre expectation for shows to be all things all the time. That's just, one, impossible, and two, unreasonable for, like, writers and actors and stuff. So it's like, you wouldn't go in, like, so there might be someone out there who would go into this, like, expecting some sort of, like, social commentary on the game industry or some sort of, like, big, you know, like, to have this show have some sort of political agenda. It doesn't. It doesn't have any of that. It's just a show that's cheerful and easy to watch.
Not even, like, there's not even misogyny in the workplace or, like, anything like that. They're all just people who all work in the office. Yeah. They never, like, there's none of that where you can very easily see that being part of a story like this. And it's just not, that's just not the story they're trying to tell. So it's just not there.
And it's like I acknowledge that that's, like, not realistic, but this isn't meant to be realistic. This is meant to be as realistic as, like, a romance novel you would read on the beach. You know what I mean? Like, the cowboy who swept me off my feet. Like, the billionaire cowboy. Like, we all know that's just for fun, okay? And this is, like, the same. It's just supposed to be, like, a chill watching experience that is really good for when people are stressed out or, like, they got a lot going on in their lives or, like, things are, you know, if things are going wrong for you and you just need a break from thinking about your life's problems.
Like, if I were going to compare it to Western media, it would be the Irish, like, American Girl Goes to Ireland rom-com, right? Like, it just, you know what's gonna, she's gonna meet quirky characters.
Yeah, it would be like a Hallmark movie, okay? It's a Hallmark movie. Like, you're not, you don't watch a Hallmark movie for the great social commentary or, like, delving into world issues. You watch a Hallmark movie because you're stressed out and need a break and just want to watch two people smooch at some point. You know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
Within unlikely odds that don't reflect reality. Done.
And this movie does that, or this drama does that really well. And it has some very funny moments and very, like, there are very hilarious. I did definitely laugh out loud a lot of times in the second half. First up, I get secondhand embarrassment. So the first, six episodes, the cringy, it was like, ugh. But, like, I mean,
I think, like, the show really took a turn for me when he finds out that he fumbled the bag.
Yeah.
And his look of horror as his roommates start mercilessly making fun of him. I was just like, okay, like, let's go. Let's get started. Excellent.
It was good, and it was, like, it was nice and sweet and funny. It was also kind of sexy. Like, they didn't pretend that they weren't adults who lived across the hall from each other.
Like, and occasionally, occasionally there was there's only one, oh no, the lock is broken. Right, oh like, no, guess she'll have to stay over at his house. Oh no. And, you know, and these are the sorts of things that you're expecting in these shows, and it delivered all of the things that it set out to deliver as a show. You know what I mean? Yeah, like, as, absolutely. Like, the genre and the style of show that it is, it set out to deliver a certain, story beat. And it did. Like,
terrible parents. Like, there was some parent drama, but normal parent drama. Not, like, this is a terrible person who should not be in your life drama. It was sometimes... You know, adult children fight with their adult parents because they don't see eye to eye on things. And then they get over it because they love each other and they just, you know.
Yeah, and that's that.
So.
It was nice. It was a nice show.
It's very nice. It was very nice. It was very enjoyable. Very easy watch.
Easy. So if you're looking for an easy chill watch, like, you know, you've had a hard week at work. You've had something go wrong in your life and you just need to watch something. And, you know, Bridgerton season 2 is still a month out. Like, the second half of the season is still a month out. You need something to bridge the gap. You know?
Here you go.
Here you go. It's chill. It's very, like, it's chill. It's very PG. Like, it's there's nothing, like, you can watch it with, you know, your parents in the room.
Oh, yeah.
Kids in the room. It's nothing. There's nothing scandalous. It's not violent. It's not inappropriate in any way. It's a chill, fun watch that you can watch and enjoy yourself watching.
Agreed.
And I feel like there needs to be room for that as an acceptable thing to admit that, yeah, I like watching. Like, you don't have to pretend like, oh, I watched it, but like, oh, I know it wasn't very good. Like, no, it was good. Okay? It was good. I enjoyed watching it.
It was good.
And I recommend it to other people. Like, not everything has to be a think piece, okay? Sometimes they can
be fun.
They can just be cute. It can just be cute sometimes.
And this was
very cute. Anyway, thank you for hanging out with us. We'll be back next week with more of us, I hope. although I hope you've been enjoying just the two of us. And we'll see you next week. If you want to listen to more episodes of this podcast, you can find us wherever podcasts can be found. Also, all of our episodes are on YouTube. Where we're in video now for a little while. But also you can go to our website, certifiednunas.com. And we have every episode with links to the shows and time codes for the episode listed there for anyone interested in that. And if you just like really love the vibe of this podcast and you want to support it and help pay for that website I just mentioned, you can go to patreon.com/certifiednunas and join the Certified Found family. They're our found family on the web. They're great. We love them. We have like a movie night with them. We get little extras episodes from here that's just for them every once in a while. It's good times. And we love the found family so much. Anyway, thank you for listening to us. Summer's heating up in the Northern Hemisphere. So put on some sunscreen, wear a hat, and always wear a mask for keep thinking about your immunocompromised friends. So wear a mask, wash your hands, and keep enjoying Asian entertainment. Bye.
Bye.